Ross Robinson is going to be giving our message today. So everyone give it up for Ross.
There we go. Thanks, Becky. Oh my gosh. All right, look, all the kids are heading back there with Carrie and our, I always say every week if I'm up here to help dismiss the kids, how awesome it is. I have a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old to be blessed with that ministry. So what an exciting morning. We get to hopefully I keep it going. We're talking about joy and gifts today. So I hope you enjoy yourselves. I have a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old, so I get to do the dad jokes. I'm allowed. As Becky said, my name is Ross Robinson. I'm blessed to serve on our elder team here at Fairview. I also help with music, men, and play the drums, so we'll incorporate a couple songs in this message today, too. Not me playing the drums, just, you know, a reference to songs. All right. So, as we had our candle lighting this morning, we are in Advent, and Advent might be a familiar term to you, it might not be, but we are in week 3 of Advent, and Advent is just a term for the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas to help focus on some specific themes that Jesus has taught us about, those themes being hope, peace, joy, and love, and this week we're focusing on joy. So we pick up our story. And it's the story where the angels are first appearing to the shepherds and telling them about Jesus, the Messiah, being born. So it's in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. Again, it's the first time the angels are appearing to the shepherd to bring them this news. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." So the central theme I want us to take out of this is that the angels were bringing good news that brought great joy for all the people. Good news that brings great joy to all the people. So what is the good news? The gift of Jesus arriving. And the term Advent, to dig into it a little bit further, it's actually a Latin term meaning Adventus, which means a coming, an approach, or an arrival. This is a time to anticipate the arrival of a Savior, of a great gift. And Jesus commonly is referred to, you know, as the King, the Messiah. And you think about, in your mind, when you think about a king, you probably don't think of a baby or something as meager as a manger. But Jesus is a different kind of arrival for a different kind of king. He wasn't here to take over territory or sit on a throne as kings of the day did, but it was here to combat sin and death. And so a different kind of arrival for a different kind of king. I want to focus in on what that must have been like, this good news of the gift of Jesus arriving. A lot of times when I see this depicted, the angels in the field and the shepherds, there's usually like one or two, maybe three angels, really, really bright lights, and the shepherds are in awe. And we saw that in the text. Even one angel came and the shepherds were afraid, right? Just this awestruck, what is happening, right? And so that's enough to marvel at, to think about. But then it goes on, and think about these words a little bit. In verse 13, it says, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel. What does that mean? Well, a host is actually more than two or three. It's actually a very large group, or potentially even an army. So instantly I think of, you know, this might date me, but the movies of like my high school, right? I think about armies in Braveheart coming together, and armies in Patriot, and the armies in Lord of the Rings coming over the hill, which I'm told is about to celebrate its 25th anniversary, which is kind of wild. But think about the vast scale of people And then multiply that one angel that caused the shepherds to be in awe. And now you have a heavenly host, an army of angels, God's angel army appearing to the shepherds. And what is their role? To praise God. What do they say? The angels are saying or singing, I don't know which, but I do know that the scripture says they were glorifying God. And they said, glory to God in the highest. I said I would incorporate music has a particular way of causing us to think about words in a different way, causes us to reflect on them. And so when I read scripture, I oftentimes a song will pop into my head, maybe about that scripture or retelling that scripture. And when I read this, I think of the song Angels We Have Heard on High that says, I have a picture too. Before I get to that, there's a picture of when you think about, this is a picture of Alaska. And so when I think about things that cause me to be in awe, as the shepherds might have been, the closest thing I can get to, and my wife Holly helped me out with this. She's like, what about when we were in Alaska? Like, that was just indescribable. And you may have experienced it or something like that, but nature has a particular way of causing us to be in reverence of God's creation. And it's something that when you see it, it's a picture I took just on the side of the road in Alaska, and it just, you have to marvel at it. You can't describe it. You're just a little bit in awe. And I have a feeling that the shepherds, this would have been a microcosm of what the shepherds would have experienced, seeing a heavenly host. And think about this picture as I read these words echoing off mountains like this. When you say angels we have heard on high, I'm trying to find the words. There we go. Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply echoing their joyous strains, Gloria in excelsis Deo, glory to God in the highest. The sound of this heavenly host of angels would have been so big announcing this gift of Jesus that it would have echoed off the mountains and they would have heard it a second time. What a picture of a gift that we're giving, an announcement of a gift and an advent of Jesus. There's a sense of anticipation and excitement with a good gift. Think about, so it's Christmas time. Gifts are the nature of the season. In addition to Jesus, we give gifts. Think about the best gift that you've ever received, just for a moment. I want you to think back, what was it wrapped like? How was it presented? Did someone pull it out of another room? Did you walk down the stairs and see it? How did you feel when you first unwrapped it or saw it? In another light, maybe you think of the best gift you've ever given to someone. What's that sense of, before they open it, that sense of excitement and anticipation of what that person's going to think when they open it? The amount of thought that goes in maybe to what that person would want or appreciate. Gifts leave an impact. A couple of specific examples related to gifts, arrivals of gifts, they just emit this feeling. Personally, so giving a gift, I think about, you know, proposals. That's a pretty big gift. I remember the day that I proposed to my wife, Holly. I was so nervous. I couldn't, like, I kept checking my pocket to make sure the ring was still there. It somehow got lost or something. But I was so nervous about, like, what to say, how to say it, where exactly to go. There was this building sense of anticipation of such a great gift that I knew would be impactful, right? Thinking about Christmas gifts, our family sits around a tree and the kids hand out all the gifts and we go through and open up all the gifts. And then once all the gifts are done, there's always the last one, the big one. But it doesn't just come out of the other room in our family's tradition. It's a clue-based scavenger hunt. They make us work for it. First clue is always the reason for the season. So we go over to Jesus in the manger, and then it's a frantic race of clues to get to the last gift. And we are sent upstairs, downstairs, outside in the winter in our PJs. And it's gotten better the last couple years. The last clue is not just the gift. It's like a maze or a puzzle that we have to solve to get the clue, the little marble thing that you have to solve. And then it finally unlocks the last clue, and then you have the big gift. There's an advent. There's an anticipation of the advent of this awesome gift. And I remember several of these final gifts, but one that in particular came to my mind, again, this will date me like Braveheart or Patriot, but unwrapping a Nintendo 64. Oh my goodness, I remember the color of the box. I remember the paper. I remember where I was. I remember wanting to play it the rest of the day. And it's just there's something that a great gift does, either receiving it or giving it, that emits this, you know, when you're a kid, you just shout. When you're an adult, you have to kind of like suppress a shout. But it's just this feeling in your stomach and this lump in your throat. It's just like, oh, this is such a good gift. You remember? That's what the angels were telling the shepherds in the fields. The gift of the Messiah was here. The advent of Jesus is the gift of good news. And the good news is that it brings great joy. So what's the joy all about? It's a good news that brings joy for all people. What's the joy about? It's the fulfillment of a long-awaited promise. It's not just the fact that the Messiah, the Savior, is here, born. This had actually been foretold several hundred years earlier. So the story I read this just from Luke is part of the Gospels. It's actively telling Jesus' story from birth to death and resurrection. The verse that I'm about to go into is in Isaiah. So this would have been Old Testament prophecy 700 years prior to when Jesus was on earth. And I love the parallels looking at Isaiah, the prophecy, and the fulfillment of prophecy in the New Testament. It's just absolutely fascinating. And so Isaiah chapter 9 is where we're going to pick it up. But instead of reading this, I think we have a clip that is going to present this verse to us in a little bit of a unique way. But isn't music amazing? I mean, I get this feeling when I hear that. They're singing Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and I'll read it for you. But it's so impactful. Anybody know what this is a clip from? What composition? It's one of the movements of a larger composition that describes Jesus' ministry. Another one of the movements is a hallelujah chorus. That's another hint. Messiah, I hear Messiah. Okay, yeah, Handel's Messiah. It's a 53-part, 53-movement story through music and song telling the story of Jesus, reciting Old Testament and New Testament scripture. It just goes through, and it's big. It takes 2.5 to 3 hours to perform. The first performance of the Messiah was 1818 in the U.S., and it's still performed annually today. It has an impact, presenting the scripture of the Messiah. And what I love is this, I didn't even know we were going to have a choir today, so this kind of fits in, this fits in well. This is a picture of the Tabernacle Choir performing this, "Unto Us a Child is Born," which is one of the movements in Handel's Messiah. But it's a way to try to describe the indescribable. How do you describe the Messiah in words? And you can attempt that. We can attempt to sing about it. We can play about it. But until you experience it, that understanding is, it sometimes falls short. It's difficult to put the right weight on describing the Messiah. So I'll read through this. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." So you might have, there's some names in there, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, that might sound, they're kind of churchy names, they might sound familiar, maybe don't necessarily know where the context is from. These are called throne names of the Messiah. Again, this is 700 years before Jesus is coming, but it's describing what Jesus is. And they're each two-part names, and I have a couple descriptions up here. But I want us to, again, think about this, trying to describe the indescribable. Wonderful Counselor. Jesus would be a king with a plan that would cause the world to marvel. mighty God. There's this mighty, like you think of warrior, but there's the God aspect of it, a divine power as a warrior. Everlasting Father is kind of a unique descriptor of Jesus, who we call the Son, because it's the Son of God, but it's like a father figure, right? Enduring, compassionate, provider, protector. How do we describe the Messiah? Prince of Peace, not just peace from war, but personal peace, peace of mind, peace of and soul through faith in Christ. As I was thinking about this, like, how do we describe something that we haven't experienced? I think about a couple stories with my kids. Anybody have remember like kids trying food for some foods for the first time? Okay, so the thought that came to my mind was ice cream. At a time where our kids, the only thing that passed their lips was macaroni and cheese and Goldfish, we're trying to have them like, it's a fun thing, try something new, ice cream. Well, they didn't want to try it. Like, how do you explain to a child who hasn't tasted ice cream, like it's sweet, and we're not really sure what that means, and it's cold, which is not like maybe the best quality in food. But then they try it and they love it, right? Rudy's my youngest, he loves pink ice cream, strawberry ice cream. My oldest loves anything chocolate, even like dark chocolate chunks added to it. I was like, more power to you, buddy. They love it now, right? But they hadn't, until they experienced it, it was difficult to put weight to or to describe. Another example, I think of my oldest, he's 7. He just started reading on his own for the first time last couple months. And it's like, whoo, this is so cool. It's not overnight. It's not by accident. He's 7 years old. We've been reading to him every day for 7 years. It's a long process, right? There were months of him trying to sound out words and get frustrated and all these things until something clicked and he experienced it. And now those stories are his own to read. And the joy that we find in Jesus can be a lot like this. It's difficult to describe. How do you describe the Messiah until we've experienced it? We have a much better understanding when we experience it. And joy in Jesus sometimes, in some seasons, comes easily and quickly, like trying ice cream for the first time. Sometimes it's more of an ongoing pursuit, like learning to read. Joy is a Christian, is an attitude. It's not circumstantial. It's an attitude that we adopt because of the hope that we have in God's love and promise. It's an attitude to be adopted. In James, it talks about joy in the midst of struggles. James chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of any kind, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance." Joy as a Christian is an attitude, not circumstantial. We have a lot of biblical examples of joy in the midst of struggles, and we have a lot of biblical examples of joy as a response to God's provision. But the good news of great joy is the Messiah is here. The other great news is it's for all people. It's not restrictive, and this is so, so cool. Galatians describes this really, really well. Galatians chapter 3, 28 and 29. It says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." In some references, as it has up there, neither Jew nor Gentile. And we'll talk about that a bit. But just the unity in Christ that transcends differences in ethnicity, gender, social status. So, so encouraging. There's something in there, too, that I want to dig into. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Like, what does that mean? What promise? What does that mean? Back in Genesis, all the way at the beginning, God had a conversation with Abraham and said, "You and your descendants will be blessed, and you will be a blessing to others." And early on in the Bible, we see that Abraham's descendants were meaning very literally biological descendants, the Israelites. We talked about their exodus out of Egypt and the provision that God had for the Israelites again and again and again. They were God's chosen people. Whew. But what's so cool about this is if you belong to Christ, meaning if you make a decision to follow Christ and put Jesus as Lord, we are all heirs to that promise. We are all God's chosen people. That's the gift that Jesus offers to us. So, so neat. When it talking about transcending differences, I want to touch on this too. Jews and Gentiles, again, they're terms that are described so often, but sometimes we might look over, like, what does that mean? What is a Jew and Gentile in these times? Gentiles were just seen at, Jews were God's, you know, Israelites, God's chosen people. Gentiles were seen by the Jews as pagans who did not believe in God, and they were even considered unclean at the time. There was a wall, a literal wall in Jerusalem in the courtyard that barred Gentiles from entering space reserved for Jewish people. And because of Jesus and the good news of Jesus, that wall was broken down, and describes this in Ephesians. I'll read this here. For he himself, Jesus, is our Prince of Peace, is our peace, who has made the two one, has destroyed the barrier and the dividing wall of hostility. So Jesus, it's just this, the representation about two separate people that Jesus is saying, hey, my gift is offered to both of you. Quit being hostile towards each other. My gift is for both of you. And so this would have been pretty radical at the time to think about. The good news bringing great joy is for all the people. Jesus also represented joy throughout his life. The story that I read this morning about the angels appearing to the shepherd and saying Jesus has arrived is about Jesus' birth. But even on the day before he was arrested to be crucified, Jesus talks about joy. When he's with the disciples in the Last Supper, he talks about having joy. And this is so, so important. It was present throughout his life. John 15:9-12, this is Jesus speaking. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed in my Father's commands and remain in his love. I told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Jesus wants joy for us, joy in him. For us, Advent season's a reminder of what we have in Jesus, the gift that we've been given in Jesus that should bring great joy and is for all people. In Ephesians, it describes this gift this way: for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. That's the gift of Jesus. We can't do anything to earn it. It's ours to accept. So I have a couple questions as we wrap up to ask of you. I think you should, one of these two questions will apply, I think, to everyone in this room. Question one, if you have not received the gift of Jesus, how do I do that? What does that mean? And that we see in Romans 10:9. Simply declare and believe. So if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Just like Pastor Mark was talking with the baptism, it's radical to believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead and overcame death, but God stepped in, right? How do I receive the gift of Jesus? It's as simple as that. You can't bring, there's nothing you can bring to the table to make to make you any more worthy of it. Nothing you have to do. You confess with your mouth and put Jesus as Lord in your life and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And if that's you, or if you're wrestling with that, I would encourage you to continue questioning that and asking that, and what does it mean to make Jesus Lord of my life? Fill out a next steps card. Tell somebody about it. We want to share the joy that you have in making that decision to follow Christ, because your life will never be the same. The second question is this: if you're a Christ follower, what are we called to do with the gift of Jesus? We go back to our story in Luke. After the shepherds have heard this host, this heavenly host of angels, what did they do? So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. That's what we're called to do, spread the good news. And we're also called to, as Jesus said to his disciples right before he was crucified and raised from the dead, love one another as I have loved you. So we're called to spread the word and show God's love to other people. Advent season is a reminder of the good news of the gift of Jesus that continues to bring great joy for all people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this Advent season, that we can take a special opportunity to think about what you have taught us. Think about the good gift that you are coming to this world and what you continue to give and offer freely. Thank you for the joy that you offer to us and the calling to spread that to other people. We pray for everything you do throughout this church and what people would take going into this next week. I pray that they feel a calling on their heart to spread word of you to other people. It's good news of a great gift that brings great joy to all people. In your name, amen.
Amen. Church, would you thank Ross again for coming up here? Thank you, man. I have this is my note card. I have to share some church business, some updates real quick, but as those are my notes on this side, but you get to see all of my sermon notes on that side. So thank you, Ross. What a great reminder. That's wonderful. And can we also thank our choir again also? I love when we get to do that throughout the year. I always feel blessed by them using their gifts to minister to each of us. A couple quick things before we go today, before I send us out with our blessing and our benediction. A couple quick announcements and then a follow-up part two of our annual business meeting. The two announcements, the first one is that we are going to be Christmas caroling tonight. I have not been Christmas caroling since I was in high school at youth group. We were a number of months ago planning events for our church body to do together to celebrate Christmas. We thought this would be fun. We did not mean to plan it on the day that would be the real feel of 2 degrees. But our plan is, we'll see how it goes tonight, 6 o'clock. We'd love to invite everyone, every age, families come together. If we can weather the weather, we're going to walk over to some of our neighbors right over here. And if that's not going to happen, we are set up at Lutheran Life Villages and Kendallville Manor to just come in and just spend some time singing. And then we'll come back here to the church for cookies and cocoa. So we'd love to invite you tonight at 6 o'clock. You can just come right in here. Number two, do you know that your pastor is human? Nervous laughter. What's he going to say next? Well, when you leave today, there are some wonderful Christmas invite cards that I had a hand in creating. Yes, I'm super excited for our Christmas Eve services, and I'd love for you to all pick one up. Does anybody have one? Do you have one? Did anybody pick one up yet on the way in? Okay, you're going to get them on the way out. They're right past that door. You'll notice on the back, the service time, somebody paid for 400 cards to be printed with the wrong service time. That was your pastor. I do make mistakes frequently if you ask the staff, and this was one that we said, do we order 400 more in rush delivery, or do we graciously ask our admin team with a small Sharpie to turn a 4 into a 6 400 times? We did the latter. So if you happen to give one of those out before today or before this week, just let whoever you invited know that on Tuesday the 23rd, we do have a service, but it's at 6 o'clock, not 4 o'clock. And then on Christmas Eve, we have 4 and 6. And it'll be a great service. It's family friendly, family oriented. We will have time to read the Christmas story, to sing a lot of traditional songs, to have candles as we sing Silent Night, and then head our way to celebrate Christmas. I wanted to let you know about those things. Now, our business meeting, we did this a couple weeks ago on a Wednesday night. A number of you joined us, and at that time, we presented some numbers. We talked about the numbers from the past year, moving from 2025 to 2026. Our finance team and our elder team, with the involvement of everyone, our staff and ministry leaders, worked together to put together our ministry action plan, our budget, for the year ahead. And so I won't go into all the details. That's what the business meeting was for. But if you weren't there and you want to know the basics, because we're going to ask you to respond to this in just a moment. The first is that we've unanimously proposed a ministry action plan, a budget of $439,880 for the year ahead. You can see our last five budgets. The top line is our budget. The bottom line is our attendance. And from last year, or from this year, sorry, 25 to 26, this is an increase in budget of about 3.3%. So not a huge jump. You can see we've typically gone up. There was one year we cut back on our budget. But yeah, it's a 3.3% increase from last year. And this has been worked on and then finalized and then unanimously proposed by both our finance team and our elders. And so we've given that to you the last couple at the business meeting, the last couple gatherings here. So hopefully you've been able to take that home and reach out with any questions you have. That'll be the first thing you have the opportunity to vote on. The second and third are eldership proposals. We have two candidates who have served for the past year, throughout the past year, on our elder team. The first is Tanner Ginder. We got a picture of Tanner there. If you don't know, he and his wife, Rebecca, and their children. Tanner and I, interestingly, we go way back. And our families went to church together as we were growing up. And so I've known the Ginder family for a long, long time. It's been a joy having him be part of our team. He's the executive director at Camp Lakewood. Thank you. I get that and adventure mixed up, Camp Lakewood. And so he serves on our kids ministry team. And so I'm excited to for our elder team to be able to propose, again, unanimously, having worked together and served together for the past year. The other elder proposal candidate is Ben Bauman. Ben and his family there pictured, so excited for him as well. Is Ben back in the booth? Yeah, Ben is back in the booth. Actually, I don't think Tanner was here for the first service, but Ben is back in the booth running back there. And Ben is a quiet guy, but he's one of those people, and you know people like this, they're so important to have around. Often quiet, but when he speaks up, it's very, very important to listen because he has great wisdom and thoughtfulness in everything that he shares. And so it's been wonderful having him serve as an associate elder as well. And so I'm excited to, again, unanimously propose both Tanner and Ben to join our elder team. And so the way this is going to work, it won't take long. There's a QR code. If you are QR code savvy, go ahead and pull your phone out. Scan that, and if you don't want to use a QR code, just prefer not to, just raise your hand. Our ushers are going to come forward. Come on forward, guys. Ushers, come on forward, and then we'll turn around so you can see here. There are pens in the back of the, or in the seat back in front of you. If you prefer a paper copy, just raise your hand, and one of our ushers will come to you. This is for members and church attenders alike. If you are here, you are welcome to fill this out. By our bylaws, the only votes that are actionable are those of members, those who have gone through the membership class and have affirmed that yes, I'm a believer, I've been baptized, I'm in agreements with the statement of faith. Those are the votes that we are actionable. But we ask everybody, if you are here, you are welcome to vote and voice your yes or no on each of these three issues. Anybody else? Paper ballot? I got one in the back here to the right here, Carol. Brad back there. And then right here in the middle, we got a couple here. Thank you, John. Thank you very much. And so what we'll do, you can go ahead and fill those out on your phone. Is the QR code working? Did that work okay? Great. There's a form there. A little bit. We just need to know who you are. Are you a member? And then your thoughts, 1, 2, and 3. And then we will tally these up along with next services. And then we'll send you an email probably before 1, 2 o'clock this afternoon once they're able to tally up both the paper votes and the form, digital votes. Now, on the back of that, there is on the form online, there's a comment section. Anything that you would like to share with us. If you are extra excited and on board with the ministry action plan, that 3.3% increase, you can let us know. If you're excited, you wish it was a bigger increase, less. I mean, you're more than welcome to share your thoughts about anything even unrelated to the MAP or eldership process as well. And those of you with the paper ballot, just on the back, if you have comments, you can just write them on there. We will organize those, share those with the eldership and the finance team as well. So I'm going to let you do that. If there's questions, you can hang around. But I'm going to pray for us with these decisions that we make as a church. At our business meeting, we mentioned that the elder team, the finance team, work together with the staff and ministry leads in taking in input from the congregation. But we don't make these decisions. It's not just the elder team, finance team making these decisions. We trust this body of Christ to make the decisions for our church. And so that's why we seek a majority vote in issues like these. So I'm going to pray for us as we wrap up, and then we will stand, and I will send us out with our blessing and benediction, and you're welcome to stay and fill those out. There will be boxes as you leave, the connection card boxes. You can put the ballots in there, and the online forms obviously will be automatic when you hit submit. So let me pray for us today. Father God, we praise you for the opportunity to worship with our songs, with our fellowship, through baptism, through receiving teaching of your word. And we even worship now by using our voices as we've prayerfully considered the proposals in front of us. And we prayerfully and with great humility follow your word and Psalm 37, we commit our way to the Lord. We give these things to you, and we trust you to bless them in a way that only you can. Thank you for wisdom. Thank you for the discernment you've given leaders, elders, finance team members, but also our church body, that together, we serve together, we can move forward to pursue the mission and the vision that you've given us, that we would make disciples, not that we would make attenders, not that we would make church members, not that we would make baptized people, but that we would make disciples, apprentices, people that follow you and orient our lives around you. Help us to bring and build and send today, through the rest of this year, and in the year and years ahead. We ask your blessing on this vote, that through the prayerful collective wisdom of the church body, you would bless the decisions that we make and use those as a foundation built on you, Jesus, for the year ahead. We love you. We thank you for being our Prince of Peace. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me as I send us out today with our blessing and benediction? Church, today you are not leaving. You are not dismissed. You are being sent. God has called us. Christ goes with us. The Holy Spirit empowers. So now go, stepping into the abundantly beyond future that God is leading us toward. Amen?
Amen.
Have a blessed day, church. You can drop off your ballots as you leave and pick up a corrected church Christmas Eve invite on your way out. Have a great day.